Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I thank you and I magnify and glorify you for your compassion and your presence. What can I say? Your grace, glorify it, magnify, extol, and exalt you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. Te amo, escribe, chóatole. Rakoche de Chrem Horda Shabatoke Shate Sorobaya. Oh, says he. For it's my desire that when you can't make this journey on your own, that in mine anointing I could pick you up from where you're standing up into a place of my grace, that you might be able to stand. For my grace is sufficient, and it's my desire to do those things for me. It's my desire to do those things for you, for this pleases me as much as it does you, when I'm able to establish my truth in you. Elmote. Hukidul helapa. Sosia pesi. Nakwanisolishi. Dakwanisha. So when you come together like this, and you worship, and you give yourself over to me, sometimes you come close to a place you're not walking yet. When you get close enough, then it's my pleasure to snatch you up into that grace and manifest that thing that you're believing for. Woo. Hallelujah, Jesus. Very gently. You can be seated. Just something's been happening. I'm so glad that I have a foundation that's put under me that has taken the whole length of the born again trail and all the mysteries of everything we've understood and preached for years. I'm glad I have that so that I can have the rest of it. And see, now I know that he's released me to spend all the time that I need to. Spend all the time that I need to accomplish this next place. And some of the things that he's catching me up, and I get to see them just in little glances. And they're and each time I know they're greater, a greater part of a whole. So in my life I've formed that foundation and been taught by the Holy Spirit, and it's came to this. I'm so glad that he's furnished what he's furnished so I can do what he's asking me to do. that once in a while I can share a glimpse with you. The only difference between you and I and major populations of the peoples of the world, because I mean, we all have the same body yet. There's no difference in that. And when his love was pouring out on me, he wanted me to see a little bit of the bigger picture. We have the same body that the world has. It was created in that single strand of DNA, even where Eve come from. Every one of us. See, every one of us got our body. We got our spirit. You can't be born again unless you were born the first time. Thank God. We're different now. Even though we all look alike, we all have the same bodies. Something has happened inside of us. We've been born again. But starting to see that I know what he wanted me to look at. See, he wanted me to see the rest of the family that hasn't been born again yet, that's come from the same stock. I covet the fact that I've been born again and found him. I think more than I ever had before. But I looked at the whole family, I'm thinking, what do you want me to look at? We have it, they don't, even though we share the same body. And what he was trying to get over to me was how much he loved them. He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He that believeth not on me is condemned already. He said, I come to save it. He that believeth not on me is condemned already. The only way I could compare the picture I got to look at is my own family. You snatch my wife, my sons, grandsons, daughters. You snatch them up and throw them in prison with a termination date. Under a death penalty. You throw them in there, I'm going to go after them. I'm going to go after them. Say, they're not going to go down without a fight. Well, that's who my lost brothers and sisters are. We all have the same body, but they're under a penalty. Some devil stepped in. Now they have a death sentence on them and a termination date. Then eternity. When I got that glimpse, I know how much. See, I know how much he loves the sinner. Oh, he doesn't love what he does. But he loves him. That's where we came from. That's the part of the family that hasn't made it yet. And of course they all won't. But I tell you what. I'm going to give him I am going to give him a good fight. I am not going to burn out doing nothing. Hallelujah. Well, that love, I wouldn't have known it. And the thing that put me on that trail was the revelation that Christianity really isn't a religion. It really is a family. You want to know how to discern the difference? So I have the love. I'm increasing in the love of God, are you? Let's pour a little acid on it. I'm increasing in the love of God. Did you know that when the love of God increases in you, so does your love for your neighbor? Oh no, just love God's increase, not my neighbor. It's not his love then. You're getting into religion. Well, if it's increasing, yes, it's increasing. It will include your neighbor. But I don't like them, but I love God. You're getting into religion. Here's a good way to monitor and tell. Is it the love of God that's increasing in you? I don't know who'd you do in yesterday. I love Luke 6, but I love Matthew. I love their version to it. Because when he starts introducing these things, he starts with the law. He says, you have heard it's been said of them of old. An eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. They kill you, you kill them. Maybe the other order. Eye for an eye, tooth. Why? That's death nature. Under law with death nature. Under law. In fact, the law is for the lawless. So the death nature had to have a punishment that was worse than the sin. And it was a death sentence for adultery. He said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That right in the middle of his speech, he switches it and says, but I say unto you. Okay, that was old. This is now. I say unto you. Yes. You know that guy you used to tooth out and eye out? Yeah. I say unto you. Louve. L-U-V-E. Loathe your enemies. Okay, you can stop right there. Do good to those who despitefully use you. What's the difference between them two? Well, your enemy can be far off, but despitefully users on your porch. So, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you. You know that forgiveness verse? He also slaps you on one cheek, just turn the other one. Forgive. Takes away your goods. Well, we've been over this. All that a sinner is running around with your same body. All he is somebody that's acting out of his nature. All he wants you to be is somebody that acts out of yours.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Well, then. As I go down this trail, I think I'll be able to save you time. And by the way, thank all of you and you teachers and Tim and Gary and Donner and Mark and anybody else that's stepped in to save me time. I can't even begin to tell you at this point in this transition how important it is to me. No matter what I try to do now, and I love my time praying in the Holy Ghost and assimilating. I love that. But it seems that the other anointing is a saturation process of His anointing and His power. It seems at this point, just step by step into everything that He says that we are. Are we talking about the width, height, depth, and length? Is that the only thing that can hold the love of God? How big is it? But it seems like we've taken these steps. I am. And the further that I go into it, the more time that He wants me to spend in His presence. Well, I checked up on it a little bit. Seems that the one thing that causes His presence to come the fastest, and it is the private worship. So I'll spend a certain amount of time in there, then I'll go back and do something, write some, but just like a magnet, I'm always seem to be drawn back. That's why I can't tell you how glad I am for the foundation that's been established under me previously. I'm ready. I remember those parables. They were all my parables. I didn't read the parables somewhere. I created them for a spiritual application. What is a parable? Something you can understand in your natural mind that illustrates a spiritual application. So I know Chuck the Duck, he's made world fame, and Cain the Wolf, Baby Piranha. the duck that was raised by chickens. Baby Piranha, I loved him. He did good for a while, but he kind of gave way to Chuck the Duck. In all of these parables we created so that we could understand better. And when people talk about messages from our past, the thing that they really remember is those creatures that filled the parables. How many of you remember boy and computer nerd? Nerd girl and nerd boy. That was to illustrate how valuable His presence is. See, one time I guess I was over at the office there, Dillard Medical. And I was supposed to go to the hospital and pray for somebody, and I wanted to go and couldn't, and then they were gone, and I promised them I would. So come to find out, they had got out, and they were setting in prayer and healing school over at Rhema. So that's where I found them, finally calling and stuff, because I had to keep my word. So I was down there and I says, "Hey, Steve, do you want to go with me?" I said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to go pray for this woman." He says, "Yeah." So we go over there, and it was easy to spot her because she had crutches in the meeting, right? And the oxygen, that was it. There was an oxygen tank. She had cancer in her lungs. She was on oxygen already. It was just one of those times, you know. So me and Steve, we go in, we sit down, we're looking around. And there she is. My lightning quick mind spotted her. God, my, I scare myself sometimes. It's just like that, I knew it was her. It must have been a word. She described her, and I found her. So... but they had a prayer line, and she went up, got in line, and then They went back, sat down, and they hustled around a while, then they dismissed. So we went over to her and said, we got an usher kind of guy, and says, we come here to pray for that woman there. I want to see if she's the right woman. And he says, well, okay, but you wait right here. I have to go get permission. I said, okay. So he ran off to somebody and talked to him and got permission and came back and says, you can pray for him, but you can't do it out here. We're going to have to take them to a private room. And not only did we go in there in a private room, but they sent two people in with us to watch us. So she's just over there going, I said, well, we'll come to pray for you like we promised. She says, okay. And I was just warming up in my prayer. And those guys was watching us. I was just warming up to it. You know, Father, I worship you. And Lord, I glorify you. And all of a sudden, he comes on me. And so I says, hey, basically, he's on me. And run over and prayed for her. And when I got done praying, she goes, oh my God, it feels good to breathe again. Just rip that thing off. Those two guys are going. She jumps up and you better get out of her way. Her husband, he was running along behind her, pulling the oxygen lung, and they come tearing out of there and through the lobby and jumped in the car and said, we're going to go eat. That's fun. That's fun. And in those times, I spent seasons which up to me, like, you know, I'm gonna fast. Well, you can't fast 365 days without anything but water, so you do that. It's a period of fasting, and you don't, and you do again, and you don't, and then you don't, then you don't, and you don't. I was a seasonal like that with the private worship he'd introduced me to. And I can remember now in my mind, I have enough information accumulated to know that's when it went up. That's when it went up. The power. And I happen to know there's a time it'll go up. Stay. Well, he knew that I'd have to be teaching in all of this one day. With wisdom, now, I could have redeemed some of that time. But now that I have it, I'm not going to throw any more away. Well, what you were teaching about all morning, you know, what did you do? What came up? God help me. Because this is the way the whole ministry he's given me is directed now, to supply me time. Time. Well, can you explain what's so powerful about private worship? If you let me use a parable, I can. Create a new one or use the old one?
Oh, they're really good. New ones would be good.
A new one. No, I dedicated this to a lot of my friends. They're nerds. Okay. Computer nerd. All he loves is knowledge. This morning, my sister was just tormenting me over coming out here to preach with the pants leg stuck in a sock. I'm not a nerd. A computer nerd, you know. He just loves knowledge. You don't care about anything else. You know, one pants leg in a sock. Pencil pack. Coke bottle glasses. Bedhead. Boy, he can make that computer sing. It's so fast, he can hack into anything. Busts out laughing periodically. He wasn't interested in anything. Just knowledge. 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 I think it just knowledge sound like five typewriters going off at once. Knowledge. The boss. Oh, he'd send the best looking secretary to get him coffee down the hall on purpose. You know how she'd walk by, you know, I don't know how they do it exactly. He was just knowledge. Just glances up. Knowledge. Until the day. Computer nerd girl. She came to work at the office. Little pink sweater. Little old plaid dress. Oops, one of her white socks had a pink rim on the top, and the other one didn't. Oh no, her little pink sweater's buttoned up the wrong place. One place. Pencil pack, Coke bottle glasses, bedhead. She's going down the corridor. And he's going, knowledge, knowledge.
Mommy.
Mommy. He says, knowledge. And then it happened. Took me by surprise, this magic moment. Sweeter than wine. Cupid, pull back your bow and let your arrow.
Molly!
He looks at her. She looks at him. This magic moment. Start running. Knowledge. Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Oh, you should have seen the collision. Pencil plaques flying everywhere. Glasses smashing. From then on, knowledge was not enough. He needed what he could only find in the presence of his sweetie pie. Why do you think Jesus said, and the hour now is, use the millennial ring. That's 1,000 years is one day. One day is 1,000 years. Use that code. When he says the hour now is, he meant the generation he's alive. The hour now is when the true worshipers, they'll worship the Father in spirit and truth, for he seeketh such to worship him. Well, in spirit, we know what that means. It means when he seeketh such to worship him, he was not looking for a good worship team in some church. He waited out the dispensations of 4,000 years for the first man to be born on this planet with a nature like his that could give him the fellowship that he had been looking for. To true worshipers, the time is now. The true worshipers will worship him in spirit. They could finally give him the kind of fellowship that he longed for from his family for 4,000 years. Well, what is the truth part? We had to go to Chuck the Duck to solve that one. He slipped a duck egg in the hen's nest and he was raised as a hen. He snuck off and jumped in the pond and his mother beat his tail feathers off because chickens can't swim, but something in him, which is his nature, told him he could. And later, after the ducks convinced him who he was, they said, let me show you something else you can do. There's a great duck of the south and a great duck of the north. We go to worship. They said, now you paddle real fast and flap your wings real hard. And watch this. The duck licked it off. And why? Because he was a duck. And he can fly. Chickens can't. To worship him in spirit and truth. Hey, I'm a born again believer with his nature seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And he said, I could work miracles. So come on, lift off. You want to worship him in truth? Fly. Fly. Boy, I'm glad he let me go there. Whew. So remember this, he covets that fellowship with you. He loves to teach you. And he loves it when you pull yourself aside. His fellowship with him and worship. He loves it. You're born again spirit. Has an unlimited capacity to pool, to reservoir the love of God. You can't worship him an hour without opening a conduit from yours to his. I love this family thing. I don't see people the same anymore. And I'm not afraid what people can do to me anymore. I'm going to steal your money. I don't care. Because I don't care who pays it back. I'm going to take everything you got. I don't care. See? I don't care where I get it back from. I like what Gary said when he touched on some of this. He said, that sinner's on the other side of the door. And he's calling you ugly and slapping you around ugly and despitefully using you. And boy, you teach him a lesson or two. You used to be a fighter. You're probably not going to get him saved now. God will have to go get somebody else. And the shame is, whatever he cost you, you have his promise. This is what 38 is all about. You have his promise. You give it. Don't care what he does. Hold that blood up. Cross that void of death from you to him. Whatever he costs you, he'll heap it together. Shake it. Run it over. Men will give back to your bosom. Somebody had $1,000 stolen from them, basically. And I said, what do you care who pays you back? Whew. Okay, we're ready for the service now. Let's worship him a minute. I don't know what song that is, but lift your hands up about this high. And go on. You know how blessed you are. I think something's going to happen this year. It's going to spark something. I think it's this year. Oh, come on. Oh, Jesus. Being part of his family, I got a good look at the part that's missing. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Why would he say, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers? He's the one that died. He's the one that sent him. What does he need from us? Why would he say that? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Why? Could it be because you have authority? Could it be that there's a disbursement of angels every time you call a city saved or a person? Huh? What is this role you play? They had no way to get into this planet till people started being born. If Eve wasn't going to have any children, he couldn't have got in. So if one grows up spiritually dead, why wouldn't a million grow up that way? But when he came, we have an eternal opportunity to have him been born here and find him, and to go after the rest of the family. The Great Commission. These signs will follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Church today sends them to the psychologist. Speaking with new tongues, they learn languages so they can go on the mission field. They lay hands on the sick, all right, and they send them to the doctor. What the commission's turned into. I have it from a good source. Tulsa is ours. I've heard that before. You'll hear it again. I thought you were worshiping. What happened? Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen. I don't know if you're about to cry like I am. Come up here.